your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or a risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula 866-229-3663 or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the3w's.thepowerherbs.com.
1-800-HERB-TALK-LIVE. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. Magical Engineer Frank and I are ready to go. We have a great show, first part of the show. We're going to be talking about your vaccine skeptics. They're now questioning headshots, and we're going to get into that. Science is happy. We have a quack report, but it's brief today, and we have our devotional. So before we get into all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking the Lord's face. I'm minding the time because it grows short. And our devotional today, if I can get to it, here it is, basically for the angel of, this is Psalms 34. So the angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear him and delivers them. Yeah, so if you want, you want Lord's protection, he will have his encampment about you. But you got to seek the Lord's face. You got to know the Lord. You got to read the Word of God. You got to seek Him in prayer. You got to praise His holy and righteous name. Always approach the Lord with thanksgiving and praise. Always start your approach that way. Also, if you're reading the scripture and you're using some of God's own words back in your prayer life, He knows you're reading the scripture. And God's words don't come back void, which is so cool. So mind the time, it grows short, because that invitation to join the Lord in heaven is going to expire. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Okay, first and last but not least is this quacker. United States is experiencing a crisis of early death now. This is Boston University School of Public Health. They did a report on the United States in a recent study. They published it. Researchers are saying that our country is actually, quote, experiencing a crisis of early death. Yep, so they found that more than 1 million U.S. deaths per year. And the study found that the level of excess mortality among working age adults is particularly striking. So U.S. mortality rates have been kind of dropping for the last 3 years. More people are dying than being born in the United States. So it's bad. That's bad. We're not talking about immigrants. We're talking about U.S. citizens. So wrap your brain around that. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Frank says, "The white population always had an early death." I'm not even going to say the word, Frank. Yes. Well, certain people can, you know, contract diseases. That's true. All right, we're going to talk about the vaccine skeptics. They're questioning now the veterinarians. That's right. One of the many things that COVID treatments actually revealed is that the information on vaccines does not guarantee full disclosure. And now pet owners are questioning the many vaccines veterinarians recommend for pets. And one big clue that pet owners need, need to notice is that there are now a combination pathogen serums within veterinarian medicine, which, you know, come with multiple side effects as well. We're going to get into that. Let's just look real quick at the pet shot schedule. You know, kids have a shot schedule, which is crazy. So here are your pets. You know, when I was growing up, I think the dogs got rabies. Most of them just got rabies. Maybe a distemper. But now, here's the shot schedule. Pets 12 to 16 months, they'll get the DHPP combo shot, which is your distemper, parvo, and rabies. But at that year mark or 16-month mark, the vets also recommend you give the dogs a coronavirus shot, a leptospirosis shot, which is bacterial infection dogs can get from soil. Also, they recommend the Bordetella, which is your kennel cough shot, and the Lyme disease vaccine. Then when the pet is between 1 and 2 years of age, again, they want to give them the DHPP, the distemper, parvo, rabies, but they'll also recommend an influenza vaccine, a coronavirus vaccine, the leptospirosis bacterial vaccine, and the Bordetella and Lyme disease vaccine. So that's, you know, quite a few there. And then, you know, the 1 to 3 years, basically the dog will get a rabies booster shot. So pet owners should be aware that only the rabies vaccine is required by law, only that one. Okay. So a trend, though, in veterinary medicine is to combine the serums into one vaccine. It's called a 7-in-1 vaccine. And since some pet owners may not realize that the only the rabies is required, vets will promote this vaccine as getting all the shots out of the way on one visit. And the shot will include canine distemper, hepatitis, coronavirus, parainfluenza, parvovirus, leptospirosis virus, and rabies. So seven things there. And guess what? The CDC has something to say about rabies. The CDC does not consider the United States a rabies reservoir as the numbers show, low risk of 60 to 70 dogs contract rabies annually, and 250 cats contract rabies each year. Also, pet vaccines are not tracked like childhood vaccines are. However, if pet owners are concerned, obtaining a post office box or an address for your vet can dispel concerns of unwanted home visits. So if you're worried about it, use a P.O. box. And let's look at some of the shot side effects. They're very well known. Pets, like humans, can have negative outcomes on a vaccine. So here's some of the, that's a brief list of side effects. Fever, sluggishness, loss of appetite, swelling of the face and paws, hives, vomiting, diarrhea, pain and swelling at the injection site, difficulty breathing, seizures, anaphylactic shock, and death. Boy, that sounds familiar. Now here's a report. This is a recent report in the 2023 Bloomberg Business Journal, and it also appeared in the journal Vaccine, which reported that veterinarians are getting questions from pet owners regarding the necessity and safety of the vaccines they are recommending, including the rabies vaccine. So according to the article, veterinarians are reporting an uptick of greater than half of their pet owners being skeptical about vaccine treatments. And certainly this concerns vet clinic owners, as they make 10 to 15% of their annual revenue from the vaccine treatments. So for your average size vet clinic, that amounts to about $30,000 to $90,000 a year. For larger clinics, it can reach to $1 billion in vaccine revenue annually. Here's a quote from, this is scientist Matt Mota. He's at Boston University School of Public Health. He says, canine vaccine hesitancy is pervasive. Honestly, we are pretty surprised, end of quote. Big shocker to them that people are kind of pushing back, resisting. And this is from the journal Vaccine 2023. They say, in a new study, the authors surveyed 2,200 people and found 53% had some concern about the safety and efficiency or necessity of canine vaccines. Nearly 40% were concerned that vaccines could cause dogs to develop health problems, end of quote. Wow. Also, this is another quote from Matt Mota. He says, what this demonstrates is that COVID fundamentally changed how Americans look at vaccines, end of quote. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If people have a brain and a pulse and intelligence, you know, and common sense, yeah, they're looking at it differently, Matt. Definitely. Why wouldn't they? UNICEF did a report April 2023. They said less than 80% of Americans now believe childhood vaccines are important, compared to 93% before the pandemic, end of quote. Obviously, you know, scientists are really, they were counting on people in general and also pet owners connecting the dots on vaccines, putting people and pets at risk. They weren't counting on that. They thought you all were dumb out there. Here's a study. According to the 2021 Canadian Veterinary Journal, they say science noticed a correlation between vaccine resistance in childhood shots and in pet vaccines. So this kind of goes hand in hand, really. You know, if you suspect vaccines are not what they are promoted to be, then you're going to, you know, conclude that, you know, pet shots aren't safe either. And they cited that people who believed that childhood vaccines are likely to cause autism in children were also skeptical in vaccinating their pets. They want to say the article that vaccines don't cause autism, suggesting people are not well informed. Right. Let's look at the pet health care for just a sec, because you may have noticed that pet care, this pet care system we have, kind of parallels the human care system with regards to lots of things like cost. And so it didn't used to be expensive to get a pet checkup. However, now there is pet insurance and the healthcare credit card called Care Credit that most practitioners and vets offer to help finance human and pet healthcare costs. And the veterinarian system understands that people are attached to their pets and are charging big bucks for pet care. They understand you're emotionally attached to your pet, so they're gonna charge a lot. Here's a quote from the Canadian Veterinarian Journal, 2021. They said, pets are now often considered to be a member of the family, and their health care decisions are weighed with the same gravity as human care. End of quote. So let's charge more. Let's look at some of the annual fees. What are you saying, Frank? Like funeral directors, they profit off of others' suffering. Thank you, Frank. Nice little tidbit there. Well, let's look at the annual fees. Now, in 2014, this is what I reported. I said the average pet owner spends $611 annually, and that includes visits, prescriptions, preventions, and emergency care. $611 in 2014, almost 20 years ago, almost. Now, in 2021, the average pet owner spent $1,507 a year at the vet. And nationwide, the figures are $35.9 billion at the vet. Now, in August 2023, a family member of mine spent over $10,000 on emergency pet care when their dog was hit by a truck and severely injured a front leg. Their decision to save the pet's leg was a very expensive one. Let's see. Well, let's look at the pet survey. There was a survey that was conducted by Pet Health Economics, and this was conducted in 2013, which showed that 3 out of 4 pet owners were very concerned with the cost of pet care and their ability to afford it. So pet owners will often put their pet's needs ahead of their own, and this impacts the life and lifestyle of the pet owner. Now, I once had a handyman tell me he spent $12,000 on blood transfusions for his dog that was diagnosed with leukemia. He had a cutback on eating, household expenses, no vacations, no entertainment in order to afford his house payment. So I told him about a report that I had read in the Canadian Veterinarian Virologist wrote it in a magazine who stated that the Bordetella vaccine, that's your kennel cough shot, causes pets to develop leukemia. Unfortunately, the handyman had his dog treated with Bordetella kennel cough when he had the pet boarded at the vet. Yeah. And now some pet owners are delaying purchasing prescriptions that are recommended by their vet, or they decline to buy them. They decline to purchase them altogether. Pet owners are examining their budgets. 27% are cutting out the vet visits period. 17% skip the flea and tick prevention. 13% don't get their pets vaccinated. 10% don't fill the vet's prescriptions. 7% don't use the heartworm drugs. 67% do not take their pets for an annual checkup. And the main reason pet owners gave was the cost. And there's this trend in healthcare for pets. This is research by the State of Pet Health. It was a report by Bentfield Pet Hospital. It indicated there is a big health problem with our pets, and they analyzed reports of over 2 million dogs and almost 500,000 cats from 800 vets and pet hospitals across the United States. So here was the epidemic health problem report dogs and cats are threatened by. First on the list was obesity. The report says 37% of dogs and 90% of cats are obese. And next was arthritis. There has been an increase in arthritis affecting 38% of dogs and 67% of cats. The report linked the obesity to added pressure on your joints, on the joints, which was contributing to arthritis in about 40%. Diabetes is on the list. Pet diabetes has exploded just like it has in human populations. And according to Windsor Veterinarian Clinic in Colorado, 1 in 50 pets has diabetes. This diabetes is linked to obesity and high blood pressure in pets. And of course, the last one is high blood pressure. Pets on blood pressure meds was rare 50 years ago. Not anymore. It's also linked to diabetes and obesity, so nearly 5 to 10% of dogs have hypertension. The hypertension rate is higher for cats, especially if they have renal failure, 20 to 61%. So, needless to say, that more pets are put on lifelong drugs therapy like humans are today. So, veterinarian medicine, kind of paralleling our human care. So, you want to be careful what is meant by prevention care, though. add up all the toxic drugs which are pumped into the pets on a monthly basis, the heartworm, the flea and tick. Those things are going to make your pet so poisonous, their blood so poisonous, even the parasites don't want to taste it. And this does not even include any vaccines, which has been reported to shorten a pet's life by about 5 years. That was a report conducted by a vet who got promptly fired for publishing that. So listen, we have herbal solutions even for pets. Because you might want to, you know, research some of your healthy foods, spices, and herbs to help out your pets. Brewer's yeast, for instance, if you add it to the pet food, can deter parasites because it changes the taste of the blood, and the parasites don't like to taste it, but it's non-toxic to your pet. You can mix it with a little pumpkin, and they won't even know it's there. So, you know, be discerning about the commercial pet foods, too, as pets can be sensitive to a lot of ingredients and allergic reactions can occur. They can get hot spots, ear infections, digestive issues, yeast problems. So you want to be discerning about the foods. Okay, so Frank's asking, does Brewer's yeast work for parasites in people, too? It could, but it really helps a lot with pets. This depends on the parasites that we're talking about. Different parasites react to different herb and foods. So we got a handout on that, Frank. I could email it to you. So, and we have a free handout at Apothecary Herbs on parasites. Anybody that wants it can just email us or give us a call and say, hey, I need that handout. So for like 20 years, I've used a lot of the herbs I use on humans. I've used them on pets with great success. Basically a lot of the formulas that I use for humans, work for pets in a lot of instances, like, our pet snake bite kit was adapted from the human snake bite kit. I use immune support stuff. I use, joint relief stuff, which is really a plant-based calcium liquid. We also have that wonderful Power Greens for Pets at Apothecary Herbs. This is a nice whole food supplement you just add to the pet food, and pets really enjoy it. They will lick it out of the bowl. So all you have to do is call Apothecary Herbs, ask for their catalog. That kind of stuff's in there. They have a website, powerherbs.com. They have a pet section. So give them a call at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. If you're international, call 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. Get that free catalog. It's absolutely free. If you request it on the website, you'll get an email with an option to download it. That's up to you, but you'll get a hard copy anyway. But they're having their Labor Day sale. So it's underway, so it's 25% off orders of $55 or more. You want to use coupon code LABOR23. Restrictions apply, and the sale does end on September 4th. So if you're stocking up on stuff for the fall and things like that, stuff you know that's been working for you, this is a good time to stock up and save a little money there. That's always a good thing to save. Or get some other things that you were needing. Budget was tight, but now with the sale, you can get it. Thepowerherbs.com. Yes, we're working on getting a little banner announcement on the homepage. We're kind of still tweaking the new website design. So if you're looking for the coupon code up on the website, it'll be up there soon. But it's just labor for like Labor Day and the number 23, and you just use that at checkout on the website. Or you can just use that over the phone or write it on your order form. Mail it in. You're good. All right, so we got a few minutes. We're going to be talking about a lot of things this hour. And also, if you're on the website and you do want to receive some wellness information each week, there are some newsletters you can sign up for that are absolutely free. You go under the books and newsletters section and just put whatever newsletter you want. There's the American Survival and there's the Health Quest that go out each week and get empowered with information you're not going to get anywhere else, and it's absolutely free. All right. We're going to be talking about medications that can affect our mobility. We've got a few minutes before we got to go to our first break. The media has often said, you know, a lot of people, especially the older folks in our population, are getting too many medications. They call it polypharmacy and multiple drugs people are put on. It causes a lot of adverse reactions, could even hinder certain functions. So there is probably really nothing more disturbing than to lose your personal ability to, you know, take care of yourself, to ambulate. You may have to be relying on people, and that's not what we want to be. So according to AARP, the people who are most affected are 50 years of age and older with these multiple drug therapies. Now, some health experts are speaking up and they're saying, hey, you know, the multiple medications may not be medically necessary and it's causing a loss of mobility for our elderly. Let's change it up and do something healthy for them. Well, we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, you guys wise up out there. You're getting smart. You're savvy out there and you're starting to ask questions and you're starting, you know, you're starting to connect the dots. You really are. Hi, Frank, I got an email from a guy who said that, you know, you got me investigating all the medical recommendations for myself and my wife. Well, that's good. You should do that anyway, you know, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and you should protect it. See? Let's look at some stats real quick. AARP is reporting that more senior citizen females, 79% of them, compared to males at 71%, are on prescription medicines on a regular basis. So the age group that is hardest hit is the retired folks between the ages of 65 and 74. Those on daily meds are taking at least four different prescribed drugs. And the healthcare system also knows that when seniors don't fill their prescription, it is due to the cost of the medication by usually 50% of the time. And on the other 15% for not filling prescriptions is they don't like the side effects. So when it comes to the most over-medicated segment of our society, the senior citizens are. They are pushed, drugs are pushed on them by their physicians. And they're also recommended to reject the generic brand and take the name brand drug 40% of the time, which is more expensive. But now with the generic being so adulterated, that's the only word to use, it's not safe to take them. So then you got to go to the expensive one if you're going to take it. Physicians give the following reasons. The generic uses different chemicals, fillers, and binders. And it's poor quality drug offering more side effects than the name brand drug, but it's 50% more expensive to take the name brand. And we also know doctors that, you know, get you to fill the name brand, they get a little bit of kickback payment from the drug companies, and about 86% of seniors listen to their doctor's advice, and they take their medications as they are prescribed. They're very loyal and faithful in that way. They trust their doctor. I'm not saying all doctors aren't trustworthy. I'm just saying you gotta be savvy out there. You gotta use wisdom and discernment in this day and age. Oh, we're gonna take a little break. We'll be right back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll-free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll-free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
All right, we were talking about citizens, how we can reduce the falls and the breaks and all these things that happen to our elderly. Usually it can be a drug-induced issue. So a lot of our senior patients in America are really not told all about the risks that are associated with their drug treatment schedule. Actually, even scientific medicine, your doctors and your pharmacists don't know all the risks due to the hundreds of thousands of metabolic changes drugs can cause. So millions of patients are really taking their chances every day when they medicate themselves, and they're hoping it won't cause any irreparable harm. Here's a quote from the American Geriatric Society. This was a statement in 2017. Taking multiple medications can be linked to problems such as falls, frailty, disability, and death. So your polypharmacy has risk to it. So we have our independence at stake. The older we get, you know, as we age, we worry about falling. We worry about, you know, falling down a flight of stairs or off a little step stool. And few patients really think about their medication robbing them of their ability to walk or take care of their everyday living. And now in 2017, the study in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society documented the results of the Central Control of Mobility in Aging study, and they showed how taking multiple prescriptions can strip a patient of their independence. They reported that patients can run the risk of losing their ability to walk, talk, and perform everyday tasks. So how does that happen? Well, according to the American Geriatric Society, when you're on multiple prescription therapies, it affects the brain and the central nervous system. In the study, the volunteers were 65 years of age and older, and none of them were using a cane or a walker. So in the study, the participants were taking 5 or more medications prescribed by their doctor, and they tested the volunteers in their ability to walk and talk at the same time. Seniors in America are most likely medicated for conditions associated with things like heart disease, diabetes, blood pressure, and this group of 482 volunteers was no different. And they found that the more medications a patient was taking, the slower their walking or their gait became compared to counterparts not taking those medicines. They found that the patients taking 8 or more medications had the slowest walking speed, especially while talking and walking. So you got a drug-induced frailty here. So frailty is also being reported as a result of multiple prescriptions, because I've often said that if a therapy doesn't strengthen you but makes you weaker, it will eventually lead to failure. So here the Medical Life Science News report is that if patients attempt to manage the symptoms of their disease with many medications, it accelerates frailty and it'll be one of the conditions that they'll develop. And as we age, we can naturally become frail, but prescription medicines can cause the early onset of frailty symptoms. It exacerbates or speeds it up. They reported that patients taking 5 or more medications experienced the following symptoms: weakness, less endurance, less independence and ability to function, increased risk of falls and disability and death. The German study, this was a German study, epidemiological study. It looked at what happens when seniors take 5 or more medications per day. They actually broke the polypharmacy down into categories and found that if patients were taking 9 or more drugs per day, they increased their frailty risk by 1.5 times. And if they were taking 10 or more medication, it increased the risk 2 times within just 3 years. So 5 to 9 medications daily is polypharmacy. 10 or more medications daily is hyperpolypharmacy, according to the report. But you know, the system's set up that it pays to overprescribe their patients. The average person may say that patients need to communicate better with their doctors about their prescribed drug concerns. Better communication is always a good thing. However, when there is 1 in 12 chances of the physician is receiving direct compensation from the drug companies, doubling his or her annual income, then you can see the incentive to overprescribe the patient. Now, Boston University Medical Center reported the problem of doctors being influenced by what is essentially legal drug money. And their report appeared in the August 2017 issue of the American Journal of Public Health. And they discovered that when doctors are paid to push a drug, it is called transfers of value. Drexel University reported findings in March of 2017, appeared in the Journal of General Internal Medicine, that a majority of Americans, 2/3, are seeing doctors that are being paid by drug companies to prescribe the drugs. They estimated from the Affordable Care Act, that the Sunshine Act, that physicians are paid an average of $193 to $510 per occurrence. Wow. Wow. Right? Here is a quote from Genevieve Farmkanter. She's a PhD at Drexel University School of Public Health. She says, "These findings tell us that if you thought that your doctor was not receiving any money from the pharmaceutical industry, you're most likely mistaken." So how do medical doctors see all this? Well, are doctors really embarrassed to be listed as taking money from the drug companies? Well, apparently they are not. According to a 2010 survey by Carnegie Mellon University, doctors give their reason rationalizing their acceptance of these money gifts and other monetary payments. Here's their response. Gifts or checks from drug companies are a form of reward for the sacrifices made obtaining our education. That's their position. Yeah. Yeah. We earned it. Let's just say it that way. That's how the doctors feel. We earned it. So the doctors surveyed, 60.3% agreed that their medical training burden more than doubled their willingness to accept gifts and payments. And the reality is that most physicians know that they can pretty much medically explain away any dangers or harm done to patients with the bonus clinical trial studies that are produced by the organizations making the drugs and paying them. So, you know, sadly, you know, if you're on too many drugs, you don't know if you're coming or going. Over the years, you know, when I'm talking to people and they're caught up in these treatments and the medical establishment is promoting all these treatments, they feel anything but good about their therapy. And so many of these cases, people felt that their drugs made them feel worse or gave them more conditions to needed treatment. And I know one thing, though, if you don't ask questions, you're not going to find your answers. Don't be afraid to ask your doctor. And if your doctor doesn't have time to talk to you, get another doctor. And you'd be surprised because as a former employee of the healthcare establishment, you really would be surprised at the level of incompetence and the cover-ups and the lack of compassion within this system we call healthcare. So I know there are some really good healthcare physicians and workers out there. And they do ask questions, and they try to do the right thing majority of the time for patients. So the majority are really, you know, doing what they were taught to do. And the pharmaceutical companies kind of run the show, though. So they continue, so your drug companies contribute to your political areas that are writing the laws. They pay to print the medical textbooks doctors are studying from, and they pay to promote their array of drugs in medical journals as clinical trials. Yeah. What did you say, Frank? What? Perhaps that could be cause to sue them. I was made incompetent by pharma, so we had no contract sort of agreement. Well, maybe. I mean, but the thing is, you know, the legal system is a whole nother ball of wax, and finding a Christian ethical attorney, I don't know. You know some things, Frank. You can write your own lawsuits. You know, you're good at that, but the average person isn't. And the elderly don't have the wherewithal to go through that stress. So modern medicine is good for, I think, trauma care. But they simply manage everybody else's disease symptoms with a bunch of drugs regarding your internal medicine disorders. So they try to lessen your symptoms so you can live as comfortably as possible with your disease until you die of it. That's how it goes. So they do a good job convincing patients there is nothing else that the patient can do to help themselves. And that's not true. Now, some patients find that at some hospitals that vitamin supplements, you know, are prohibited. You can't even have them. So they're told that nutrition, your vitamins and minerals interfere with the drug therapy. And that can be a fact. Yeah, some of your supplements can interfere with the absorption uptake of drugs. So that's why they're saying they're banning it. But at the same time, the drugs you're taking are flushing you of minerals and vitamins, so you're depleting yourself too. So if you're not convinced there's really no other way to get well, then you're most certainly going to stay with the white coats and the drug therapies. Now, I have seen people, though, do more for their health when addressing lifestyle and using some natural things, natural, clean, organic foods, spices, and medicinal herbs. So when people get tired of having the metabolic functions all screwed up, well, then they start to look at alternatives and what else they can do. Although scientific medicine is complicated with nuclear medicine, chemotherapies, radiation therapies, drug therapies, and surgery, your natural options are often very simple. The human body responds to stopping the poisons and pumping in the nutrition. I'm telling you, the cleanse and nourish approach is huge. Huge. So this step alone helps the body rebound and restore. So the cleanse and nourish approach is an old therapy. You want to also, you know, do things to support your immune system, make sure it's working. But these are simple steps people can do, and they have the power to execute them without any prescription. They don't need a doctor's signature on that. Now, if you need a little hand-holding, then you may want to consider looking for a naturopath that practices, because naturopaths can order blood work and things like that. So they're practitioners. So, but they're all looking at the body as a whole, holistically, and they can see chemistry-wise in your blood and urine analysis and things like that. They can see where the imbalances are, and it's like a set of dominoes that tick, 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 you know, all the way down. And so you got to address all of those. So sometimes a naturopath can be very beneficial. So if you don't know of a naturopath in your area, if you don't do the internet, find a family member or friend that has a computer and can go into the search engine and type in naturopath near me and enter your zip code. And then find a list of naturopaths, and then you can research them on the internet, you know, see what patient reviews say about them and stuff like that. And you may even find naturopaths, some of them can be specializing in certain things like neurology or cancer or something like that. So you can find some naturopaths that have experience in those areas if that's what you're needing. And, you know, a lot of them use herbs. Yeah. They'll use herbs and homeopathic stuff and diets and exercise and stuff like that. So if you need a little hand-holding, then that's the way to go. Definitely naturopaths are a hot item now. So, you know, God instructs us to use the medicinal herbs, the foods that he's made, herbs are here for the service of man, healing the nations, all the way through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. We're encouraged to notice the herbs, use the herbs for wellness. So God can't lie. He's the creator of everything. He's made herbs for us. The petrochemical drug therapy companies, no. I don't think God intended us to need them. Now, you know, there may be cases where you need them for stabilization, but once that's done and over, it's time to cleanse and nourish. You know, you can get pharmaceutical residues out of the system doing some cleansing. Which is huge because a lot of toxins build up. You get some reserves of toxins, and it's kind of a stumbling block or a barricade for wellness, healing, and regenerating tissue and things. So cleanse and nourish. So if you had to, I don't know, have some medications to get stable, or you had to take an antibiotic to get past something, well, then do your cleansing after you're done with it. See? So the powerherbs.com, if you want to check them out, they are specialists in products for cleansing, immune support, and metabolic support. Thepowerherbs.com is the website. Give them a call at 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. They have things for cardio, diabetes, you know, all kinds of things there. Just, you know, peruse or get a free catalog by giving them a call, and you'll be amazed how powerful you can be with some knowledge and some really good quality tools, because they're professional grade items there. The power herbs. All right, we got a few minutes, and let's see, we got a couple of topics here. This was a report that I had, get this, Frank, in 2014, and you may remember this report. It was about how healthcare was going to embrace more machines into healthcare. Do you remember that? And this was a quote from Fortune magazine, December 2012. It said, "Healthcare today is often really the practice of medicine rather than the science of medicine." Right? So Fortune magazine did a story on what the future of healthcare might look like. And they were convinced that technology will only improve and enhance healthcare and help people have better experiences and help physicians to do their jobs better. According to the magazine report, the University of Miami, Florida did a study in 2005 where they withheld aspirin or ibuprofen from a group of patients that developed a fever. And under the experiment, the group that did not get these drugs when a fever began had more successful recoveries and fewer deaths than the patients that were given the aspirin. So the patients that did receive the aspirin drugs had temperatures of 101.3 degrees Fahrenheit, as dictated by the standard treatment protocol. The trial was stopped when team leaders who felt it was unethical to allow patients to receive the standard treatment and not be well. So will your programmed robots make that call? You know, having a sense of humanity, ethics, compassion? Will artificial intelligence have that? Well, humans have a hard time breaking a habit or a tradition like dispensing aspirin for a fever. So how can we expect robots to stop a standardized treatment? Think about it. Experts in favor of more automation have no problem with robots in medicine practicing and using artificial intelligence, using a program algorithm. I don't know what's worse, a robot that is programmed to follow instructions or one that can arbitrarily decide to change procedures. Think about it. So, aspirin interferes with recovery. And what did you hear your whole entire life? If you have a fever, take an aspirin. Take a Tylenol. You'll feel better. It lifts the fever temporarily, but you're going to be sicker longer because it just shut off your antibodies when you do that. Because your antibodies are temperature specific of 101 or more. Keep the fever wet, hydrate, drink, and you'll get over whatever it is that's invaded your body in about 2 days. Otherwise, you're going to be sick for 5 to 7 days if you continue with the over-the-counter stuff like that. That's just my experience. And, of course, this University of Florida agreed with me. And let's look at the pros and cons here a little bit. There are two sides of your issue here, and we can cover the human error part of practicing medicine. You know, concerns like, you know, sleep deprivation, drug dependency, ethics, and morals are part of the human condition, but, you know, are told this would not be an influence for, let's say, our robot doctors, you know, the artificial intelligence doctors. So, well, there is this basic concept that you can't have something that is created without having a creator. So the creator influences the created. For example, there was a 1984 movie called Starman where Jeff Bridges played this alien and he learned to drive a car by watching humans. And he was driving actress Karen Allen in this movie. And there's this scene where he ran a yellow light and she called him out on it saying, "Are you crazy?" He said, "No, I watched you very carefully. Green light, go. Red light, stop. Yellow light, go very, very fast." So if robots are going to learn from us, what do you think is going to happen in healthcare? What do you think is going to happen in healthcare? So industry experts who are for more machines in the medical field point out that human error costs, you know, too many lives. It's expensive. Misdiagnosis, primary argument there. Machines are going to have other obstacles really to overcome, but they're going to perform at 98 to 99% accuracy. So guess who's going to get fired? The human error doctor. That's who's going to get fired. They're going to lower their liability. They're going to lower their insurance rates. They don't have to pay overtime. They don't have to pay sick days or vacation days or pay for health care insurance with a robot. Okay? So guess what? Money answers all things. So, you know, you're going to be treated by Dr. Kiosk of the future, and it's coming. There's some subtle details here. In taking advantage of differences, you know, I suppose your robots are going to be having marketing firms that could produce an upgraded robot. The new and improved, right? Sure, robots can store a lot of information, 5,000 research articles on heart disease, and they can recall 10,000 possible human diseases like that. The point is that with humans and healthcare, it is not about just data, is it? Where the data sciences area, well, robots can assist the physicians. These artificial intelligence programs can assist in utilizing, you know, information quickly. But there's really no substitute for experience and empathy.
So also your data, we do have a majority of it has been obtained through trial and error, right? And I doubt robots will be capable of deciding to try something based on a hunch. Trial and error. Gut instinct, all that stuff. Robots are not going to have that. They're going to stick to the protocol program, and if the patient dies, oh well. So what doctors won't be doing? Well, if our medical industry is going to go to a robot overhaul, the machines are going to pick up a whopping 80% of the current doctor obligations like diagnosis, tests, return office visits, writing prescriptions, assessing patient behavior, second opinions, and so forth. So your robots will be outfitted with sensors, data collection, analytical assessment programs, and other capabilities to measure the patient complaint. Now, essentially, the robots will take over the initial contact with your patient, formalize a treatment plan, and we're told that this will, you know, cut down on errors, overhead costs, and so forth. So the description you just I just read to you is what general practitioners do. So your general practitioners will be unemployed. Now, some experts are calling this rebalancing healthcare, saying that computer machines are better at organizing, recalling, and handling complex information, and that the flesh and blood, compared to the flesh and blood professional. So they predict that the robots will bring an almost immediate 50% improvement overall to the healthcare system, and if doctors are to be replaced by these machines, then so will your RNs, your lab technicians, and others will also be replaced. So Lifecom conducted a clinical trial where the computer platform was 91% accurate at the diagnosis stage without having to run laboratory tests or other studies. So the question I ask is, what happened to the 99% or the 9% that they would have had been properly diagnosed if they had those tests? So what all this means is that the data science technology contribution to medicine will take over the triage, the diagnosis, and the decision-making part of your treatment plan. This ultimately means we will need fewer doctors, and the robots will not be sitting in class or cramming for exams. Therefore, the medical schools will also be affected. And we're told that eventually, if there are any humans in healthcare, it will be for their caring personalities rather than for their diagnose and treatment ability. And I guess bedside manner coming from the machine doesn't really have the same empathy, the same delivery. And I guess bedside manner, you know, may not be as important to the healthcare system, but it's not going to stop computer wizards from designing bedside manner algorithms just for the fun of it. And they may be able to build humor into your machine's program, but building and trusting relationships with healthcare providers, well, they're being taken out of the equation altogether. And I'm out of time, so be aware. This is what's happening in healthcare. And what did you say, Frank? Personality. I'm glad to see them go. Take your RNs with you. Well, Dr. Kias has gone for the day. While the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Don't forget, the 25% Labor Day sale at Apothecary Herbs runs through September 4th. Give them a call at 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. And until next time, I wish you all to be well.